provided the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Greeno and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With its mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Greeno and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Not to walk my way. Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say. Mother, mother.
Oh yeah, mother, listen and take care of us. Hold us tight. We're back in the studio live. That's No Jive. Ray Guarino, Joe D, Motormouth Radio,
we're
Long Island.
Are we now?
Long Island's only automotive talk show. We're paying homage to mother's birthdays. That's all we had. We had in the Motormouth Radio family a belated birthday. So we're
that's
just
true. Yeah, that's right. See, look at that. You actually, those little marks on the calendar actually mean something, don't they?
That's right. Just like the little marks in the back of my head that my mother left for me as little love remembrances.
Yes, spoon marks, ring marks. You know, all kinds of psychological marks.
You know, we covered that, and that's on. You'll find that on the Mother's Day special. The Mother's Day promo from Motormouth Radio on our website, motormouthradio.com. While you're there, you can check our Twitter feed, which is Motormouth Radio, and our Instagram, Joe's favorite, which is real_ Motormouth Radio.
_
Yeah, you can see what we're doing during the week. We put stuff up, and there's a couple things up there this week. There's a tribute to Burt Reynolds, because now there's going to be a show here at the Eisenhower Park where they're doing a 100 Trans Am drive.
Yeah,
so
a TA tribute there.
We have all of that stuff up there, and all sorts of good stuff. I'm going to tell you, go check it out, because
our fingers on the pulse.
Yeah, it's worth, I think it's worth a look, so. Anyway,
you can never be bored around here. There's all kinds of stuff, happening. You never know what kind of event you might see. Now that it's not just when we're on the radio, but we try to keep that stuff, current with the email, the website, Twitter.
We do,
and
Facebook,
and Instagram, and
there's always stuff on Facebook.
Instant donuts,
right? And what we're doing is we're doing a little bit of a catch up today. Last week, of course, we were at the Malba show. We did a 2-hour live remote. You might want to check again, motormouthradio.com. You can hear those two
more
hours.
Like a laundry cycle.
Yeah, it was a little wet, and the show was a little hampered, but it wasn't rained out. It was just a little.
No, we had some Braves. We had
54, I think.
50-odd cars, which right. I was talking to Bill. The original show back in the day only featured 40 cars, so
yeah.
we surpassed that even right. on a day like today.
Right.
So, hey, that goes to show you.
But that was the thing. It was the Malba Field and Marine Club show that we go to every year.
Yes.
And our host, Billy G, Billy Velvet, put that on, and of course, had Mr. Marty Shore, who was the contemporary of Joel Rosen. He actually did all the advertising and production for Joel at Motion Performance.
Right.
Marty was with us, sat with us, gave us a great interview, and Gary the Local Brush was there as well. In the second hour, we featured Gary.
Yes.
So if you again,
that was a great interview. He was a legend even back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the 80s, I remember that name.
Oh, sure.
And his stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was Vic Kessler if you were a Queens boy, and Gary if you were an Island boy. So.
That's right. And Cliff, our good friend Cliff, called us in and mentioned Vic because he had, Cliff being a Queens guy, had his car done by Vic.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, and actually, you know, I don't want to tip the hand. Gary did talk about Vic Kessler and their relationship. They really weren't friends.
No.
But there was a lot of mutual admiration and respect, and yes. You can hear it if you go to the motormouthradio.com and listen to that show.
Absolutely. And there was also the Alco Racer.
Right.
That actually made it out in the rain. You know, some of the other feature cars did not come.
Right.
Which we can understand why, considering like some of them don't have like actual street tires.
Well, I mean, the Alco isn't a street-driven car. That is a trailer car.
Right, yeah, that was trailered in, yeah. But right. that was brave enough to show up, and it actually ran down the street a couple points. You know, that was great. The house, we were broadcasting out of a garage, and the house actually shook when that thing went by.
On my own front, I had been working on Mike's Motion Monte Carlo just the day prior to get it ready, and the car was all good to go, but Mike made the decision that the tires on the car are very period correct. They're 80s tires, and he was going to drive the car, so it wasn't really safe to drive it in the rain up to Whitestone from the South Shore of Long Island, so he decided
that's tempting fate a little bit too
much.
You know,
I left my own car home. I was going to take my Pontiac, and the same thing. The tires on the front of the car are great. They're like, what the hell is on there? I know they're, I always forget the brand. They're very, very good tires on the front, but the rears are M&H Racemasters, and they're just, you know, they're DOT illegal, but you really don't want to be channeling rain or snow through them, so I decided to leave it on.
No, yeah, I mean, sometimes where discretion is the better part of valor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And a lot of the cars that did show up were local cars, which only had to go a relatively small number of blocks.
Right.
So that had something to do with it as well. But it was kind of cool anyway. There was music, there was food, you know, there was all that stuff, and had guys standing around in tents, umbrellas, whatever, doing the car show hangout, one way or the other. That didn't really change.
We saw Dougie up there.
Yes.
He came down and hung with us a little bit.
Senor Dartboard.
Yes.
And don't forget, Mrs. Dartboard.
Laura walked in early.
We did an interview, which kind of didn't, we had no expectation that was going to happen, but, well, goes to show you never know what's going to happen here. It's the miracle of live radio.
You know, it was kind of like being at a booth where you could be selling anything, and she just walked up with the big Dunkin' Donuts coffee in her hand and said, hi. I'm like, who's this? Yeah, I didn't know who she was. I'd never met her before. She had
That's
never
right.
met me.
Yeah.
And I'm Laura. Hey, take a headset. You're on. Like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, you see, you know, we never turned down a good interview. You know what I'm saying? And it was kind of cool hearing about why, you know, there are car girls out there. They go out there and they get dirty. They twist wrenches. They make fan belts out of stockings and all kinds of stuff.
I did that once. I had to do that on my Audi when I got stuck in the Bronx.
You had stockings?
I had to go stop at a bodega and buy a pair of legs, which were those pantyhose the egg.
Legs in the egg.
And I stretched it around and tied it, and it got me to my friend's apartment, where he was an Audi technician at the time, where I had to wait for him to get home from work, where he brought the right parts to fix the car. But it did get me.
Yeah, I mean, that's a time-honored trick.
Wouldn't have been a long-term fix, because, you know, at any kind of RPM, it would slip, but it did.
It would slip, melt, whatever. And, you know, these days with, you know, serpentine-type belts with, you know, tensioners and multiple grooves and all that kind of stuff, it's just not the same thing. As a matter of fact, even just running those belts, if you don't have the decal or you don't have the presence of mind to take the picture, take a phone picture before you take it apart, usually enough to hurt your brain.
That's why I always look on the car. We had to do Mike's Mustang GT, and I said, wait. And I looked for that decal. It's usually under the hood of the car somewhere.
Right.
And it wasn't there on that car. So I took a piece of paper. I started drawing circles. And then I drew the serpentine. He says, what are you doing? I'm like, because I'm not going to remember. You're going to remember? And this one had like eight or nine pulleys. It was a whole boatload of them.
It's a whole thing these days.
Folks, draw diagrams. That was one of the Twitter posts this week about, we talked about on a previous show about using colored pencils on schematics.
Yes.
Something Joe or I are both... my friend Gerard from PA, he listens to the show. He sent me a text during the week, said, hey, I found this cool Hot Wheels coloring book. You want one? I'm like, all right. So I get a box in the mail, and I open it, and the first thing I see is a box of Crayola crayons.
Excellent.
And I said, oh, he must have listened to the show, and he's making fun of my schematic thing, right? He doesn't know I got the real colored pencils.
Right.
But no, they went with the coloring book, so...
Oh,
I got a
cool
Car Guy coloring book and
Car Guy crayons.
And then my daughter sees it and says, oh, it was a big pack of 64. She goes, let me see. And she flips it over, and she was looking for the sharpener. She goes, oh, it's got the sharpener. So even younger generations know that, you know, some of the lore, like, you know, there used to be a sharpener in the back. I guess they took that out at some point.
Yeah, you never know who's going to stick
what in there when they're kids. Or, you know, as it is, you know, they have to worry about sticking stuff up their nose or whatever,
right.
Swallowing or in their ear or whatever. So, yeah, you have to be safety conscious.
Exactly. So, there is a post. Actually, our good friend, hey, Matco Man, Brian McKinney from Maryland. It's a guy I've recently done some business with. Bought a power probe from him. And he is a great tool guy. I mean, this guy, I wish he was here. But I wish I could be on his truck every week because he's a fantastic guy that I'd want to deal with more. They got a promotion this week. This is something cool. I just had to mention it. He showed it on a Thursday night playing in traffic show, which I co-host on with Lou Santiago and Lewis Lee. You can check that out. Go to Lewis's Facebook page, or I think Playing in Traffic even has a Facebook page. We're on a Blue Jeans Network. But what it is, it's a longer chrome Matco wrench. You know, open end, combination wrench, open end and box. And it is a 10-millimeter box on the one side. But the other side, they took the crescent end and cut it short. It's a bottle opener.
Oh, how cool is that?
And I said, man, everybody's going to have one of these hanging off their
belts. Yeah, because,
now.
You know, you always want to have your 10-millimeter and your bottle opener at your side.
There you go.
Never know when you're going to need it, so you want it right there.
Now, if it was a 10-millimeter ratcheting wrench, that would be the next step up. But so that's what I'm at.
Time marches on. Science will figure that out at some point.
And I think he said that the deal is, I said, how do you get one of them? He says, yeah, he goes, I have a limited amount, but I think he said it was going to be like, you spend $100 on a truck, you get one of these. And that's what I love about progressive tool guys. They will have those
promotions,
incentives and promotions, right? So, like, all right, you know what? I was really didn't know what I was. Yeah, you walk into a tool truck show, people don't know. The average mortal has never been on a tool truck. I brought my older daughter onto the tool truck we have at the shop, which is empty because it's a decommissioned Snap-on truck,
right?
And she says, wow, I didn't know, you know, what it was going to look like in here. And I showed her a picture of it when it was full, and she goes, wow, it looks like a store. It is, it's a store. This is the guy's store. So,
it's a mobile temptation module.
And I, you know, people don't, you know, sometimes you know, okay, I lost a socket or I need a wrench set. There's a tool that you have to have that you want to get that week. But a lot of times you walk on that truck and you just got to give the guy your weekly payment.
Right.
And you browse, you look around, and, you know, and a lot of things are bought by spur of the moment, you know, just
impulse buy.
Thank you. Impulse
yes.
buying, right.
Yes.
So now he's got this deal. Hey, you know, here's the bottle opener. You want one? Yeah, you got to spend $100. Now you start looking. Okay, $100. Hey, they should just put like a $100 shelf on the truck, I think.
Anything right, just should item, be, just would yeah. be easier that way.
Anything
I know,
on
right?
the shelf, $100. And of course, it'd be like 99 or 98. It'd be like when you go to Amazon, like, I need like another dollar. What am I going to buy?
Oh, it's
can I buy candy?
Yeah, they're marketing geniuses, whatever. But let's face it, you know, also what happens is that if you, depending on what kind of tool truck it is, yeah, and that is the individual tool guy, and what kind of mechanic you are, you know, you might find some cool tech. Back, like me, I'm looking at things like back probes, meters, pressure
right.
gauges, that
sure.
stuff like that. Other guys are looking for the next special wrench or a special puller.
Yeah.
You know, and it all depends on what it is that you do a lot of.
Exactly.
And if the tool guy is smart, he'll kind of turn your head in that direction. Hey, do you got one of these?
He knows his customers, right?
Yes, exactly. No, that that's important.
Now,
because
Brian is a guy who knows his customers, too.
Mm-hmm.
So check him out. Hey, Matco Man. You just Google that. You'll find him. You'll find him on social media. He posts on Twitter and Instagram. And he's got a lot of cool stuff. So we are going to be talking with Bob O'Gorman when we come back from autolift.org. It's
right.
all about lift safety and good things like that. And
yes, we got to talk. Yeah, we got to talk lifts because that stuff will kill you.
Absolutely. So we are going to take our break. You know, the next song, Joe, is going to be, we started with Mother, which was a tribute to a mother's birthday, a posthumous belated birthday. But now this song is pretty cool because this is something your mother might have said to you or you would have said after your mother said to you, you know, you rotten fig. It's I Am Demon. So this could have been demonized as a son or a daughter.
Yes, I've been called that a couple times, yes.
So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Spawn of the Devil.
After this on 90.3 WHPC.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
This program is brought to you by the Paramount in Huntington, who presents 1964 The Tribute, a Beatles tribute concert on Friday, September 28th at 8 p.m. The Paramount is located at 370 New York Avenue in Huntington. More information can be found by visiting ParamountNY.com.
See, this is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-Fi. Those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
I may be demon because I was talking to Joe D and I wasn't paying attention to when Kim's promo ended. So
the D stands for demon.
Yeah, I think so. So we had a little bit of
sometimes.
Pardon me, please. So yes, we will. When we left, we were talking, introducing our guest, which who
should be calling presently.
Let's try this. We'll go to the phones and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is Bob O'Gorman.
Hey, Bob. How are you?
How are you, sir?
We're great, great. Good to talk to you, Ray. Good to hear from you, Joe.
Hey, sir.
Yes. Now, we met on Playing in Traffic, and we got to learn quite a lot about what you do, but this audience is going to be new to you. So, Bob, please tell us who you are and what you're doing, and we'll just fill in from there.
That's great, Ray. Yeah, you bet. My name is Bob O'Gorman. I'm the president and the CEO of the Automotive Lift Institute. I guess it's probably best to think of ALI as the industry watchdog, if you will, for automotive lift safety in the North American marketplace. We were founded in 1945. We're credentialed by the American National Standards Institute. A whole lot of technical stuff here, guys, but I'll try to soften it up. We actually write safety standards. We're a developer of safety standards, and we have a safety certification program for automotive lift certification coming right out of the factories, and then we have a certification program for those folks who would go in to the shops and the service bays and inspect the lifts annually to make sure they're safe.
Okay. How widespread is the entity, Bob?
Well, the organization is based, I'm going to say today anyway, in beautiful upstate New York. We have a killer day up here, and I know there's a lot of rain going on down south with the folks who are, weathering those storms.
Yeah.
But we're based in Cortland, New York. Our membership crosses all the way throughout the provinces of Canada. We have some folks actually performing inspections in Australia.
Wow.
And in the UAE as well.
Okay, that's pretty widespread. So the idea here is safety and to help workers be safe and obviously avoid catastrophe in the workplace. So what does the training encompass?
Well, you know, again, we focus in two primary areas right now. So you know, the question really is, do we focus on lift safety or do we focus on lift safety from a standpoint of inspection? So really quickly, from a standpoint of lift safety, I always say, I break it down as easily as I can. There are two types of lifts out there. There are those that are certified to meet the national safety standards for electrical and mechanical devices in the U.S. and Canada. And then there are those that, quite frankly, aren't. In the case of if you're looking to buy a lift, we don't sell products. The manufacturers sell the products. Ray, we sell the safety, okay? So what we would ask folks to do is if you're looking to buy a lift, go to autolift.org and just look there under buying a Lyft. You'll get some great advice to make a Lyft consumer to become better educated before they go out and start engaging the sales folks. And then if you're of the mind, you should take a look at what we call buyer beware. And buyer beware postings, they may be older. Those companies may have gone out of business, but it's that watchdog activity that we do where we know there's some things that you need to be careful of. You need to look out. The manufacturers haven't corrected them, so we actually post those for the public to see. Now, from a standpoint of safety for the Lyft operator, it's a growing movement out there. And, you know, the standard for Lyft safety is, from a standpoint of operators, has been out there since 1994. You know, unfortunately, there are a lot of folks who really haven't paid too much attention to safety, as occupational safety and health in North America has kind of become a fee-based scenario with penalty programs. It's moved to the forefront. But also, as the products have changed and you've got non-certified products out there, you know, we do see some injuries. We do see some, unfortunately, some loss of life. You know, the training is absolutely critical, especially in today's environment where you don't have vocational training as much as we did back in the day.
Yeah, very true.
And so you've got folks who are turning to this type of a career who may not have had that robust lifestyle of growing up turning wrenches.
Right.
You know?
Bob, how, you know, in our circles, and I'm sure if it's in our circle, then it's in many others because we're not the epicenter by any means, but many more people that we know now that are as they're car guys are getting older and have more disposable income and can do things the way they want. A lot of guys are putting lifts in their houses and even outside their houses. Is I'm sure that factors in as a growing concern where safety is concerned also.
True. You know, the International Building Code calls out the requirement for lifts to be certified to the programs which we offer. And, you know, the reality is I've been in product safety my entire life, from, you know, back as a young guy in the Coast Guard all the way working through one of the biggest nationally recognized testing labs globally before I came here. And, you know, the reality is that, you know, folks have got to think about the fact that whether you're at home or whether you're in a commercial environment, an accident's an accident, and your body and your classic car and even your garage doesn't know the difference when that mm-hmm. when that accident occurs.
Yeah, sure. A hunk of metal hits you, it doesn't care where you are.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things I've said to people that have said to me, yeah, I'm going to put a lift on my garage, or yeah, I redid the garage, and I said, you know, what kind of floor do you have? How thick is the concrete? Do you know? And if you don't know, you better find out. And they say, well, why? It's concrete. And I'm like, well, because...
Oh, no.
Concrete ain't concrete, as we all know.
Right. So again, those of us who know, and it looks like you've done your homework, concrete, even the attachment bolts, are extremely important. And so, you know, the best thing to do there is consult the manufacturer, consult the manufacturer's instructions. If they're not clear, we have a national standard that talks generally about what the concrete should be. But, you know, 2-inch, 3-inch concrete is going to cause you some problems. You know, you really need to speak with the manufacturer. You really need to understand that if you're planning to do your own install, you've got to know what you're doing. You've got to follow those instructions. It's probably best if you're not in that business to get some professional help, even if it's going into your home.
Sure,
absolutely. I've seen guys. You know, you buy a lift, or you actually used one. You know, shop's going out of business, whatever. And it's like, screw it, I'll do it myself. All you need is a tape measure and maybe a level, and we'll just screw it down with some big bolts. And no, that's just an invitation. I'm like, do me a favor. If you put your car up in the air, I am not coming over there to take a look at it for you.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Yeah. Not for nothing, that's just not safe.
Joe, you entered that conversation where I'm really passionate. We were on Talking with Traffic, and Ray talked to me about a used lift, and I think I stuck him to the wall pretty hard on my philosophy.
Yeah, you did.
On used lifts, right?
No, you did not, and I'm glad you did, because that's exactly what, now, because of that, I've talked to the shop owner and said, hey, listen, we need to get this thing looked at, and, you know, there's a few issues that we need to address. I mean, we use it all the time. It's working, but, you know, it could be optimized. It should be, and it should be. So, yeah, we're going to go ahead. And I think that's the, the main takeaway here. As long as you don't ignore a situation, you do address it and look into it. That's you know, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, there are some real gems out there where, you know, somebody's shop has gone under. You know, they're not in the business anymore. And, you know, you can get pretty lucky and get a great piece of equipment.
Yeah.
But, you know, quite often, you know, I said the signals, Ray, if you remember the signals to look for, you know, if there's no manufacturer's nameplate on that lift, that's a signal that probably it's been scrapped, okay?
Right, right.
Or it's coming from a manufacturer that's, I'm not going to say they're not reputable, but they definitely are not in the market for the long term here, because, you know, all the standards even require you to identify what country of origin you have on these lists nowadays.
Right. Well, that's something I want to get into. You know, maybe in our next segment we'll talk about that. This lift is actually made by a company called Grant. Which
oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah. You know, I've seen it around, seen it in other shops, and it is, you know, it's an electric lift. It's not an old, you know, hydraulic job, so it's more the modern age, if you will. But now let me ask you this: do you guys cover specifically the two post lifts, or do you go with the four post or the drive-ons as well?
Well, there are seven main styles of lifts that are out there, and then there's a number of variants. But if you want to talk about two post lifts, you know, that's the I guess the largest production lift that's moved into North America today. But the reality is we address the certification, the testing, and the inspection of any lift that's out there, regardless of the style, two post, four post. The mobile columns are very popular now.
Mm-hmm.
Wireless mobile columns. There's parallelogram lifts. You know, the styles just continue to go on. And then there's the capacities, you know. 5,000 all the way up to combinations that'll lift a railroad car.
Oh, truckless.
You know,
on your website, on autolift.org, is there can people see graphically what those seven types of lifts are?
Absolutely, yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
Good.
Up in the headings at the top of the page, there'll be a section that identifies that you're looking for a lift, and then we actually educate folks into quite some detail on what the different types are and what their typical uses would be as well.
Okay, very good. Now, we were talking before about mounting a lift on the concrete. Obviously, a two-post lift, all that weight of the lift itself and the vehicle on it is centered over those two posts. And you look at, like, you know, it reminds me back when my wife and I bought a waterbed back in the 80s, and we went into the store, and everybody's feeling, oh, it's gonna cave in the floor, the house is gonna collapse, you're gonna have a flood. And this place had a king size waterbed set up, filled on inverted Dixie cups.
Cool.
That's incredible.
And the idea was it was force per square inch. And they had a nice little write up on a board and said, you know, a woman on high heels. They gave an explanation of force per square inch, elephant's foot, and a woman on high heels exerted the most amount of force per square inch out of any of them. It was incredible. So, you know, next time when I get my back walked on, it made me think about that. You know?
Right, sure.
But these Dixie cups, they said, please don't sit on the bed. They didn't want to add any more weight to it. But it did statically hold the weight of a waterbed, inverted Dixie cups. So I'm thinking a two-post lift as opposed to a four-post, which now has much more area per square inch to dissipate that load. I'm wondering if the call out for the concrete would be the same or different. You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, again, I don't want to get too technical here, but just like the way that Dixie cup presentation was put together, there's a good engineer behind there that figured that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the reality is, let's talk about two-post lifts. You can't just talk about two-post lifts. There's two-post lifts that are 6,000 pounds or less in capacity. There's 7,000, 9,000, you know, it goes up to 12,000. And in recent years, we're starting to see two-post lifts that are being used to pick up dump trucks and other heavy vehicles like that.
Wow.
So we're starting to see 28 and 30,000-pound two-post lifts.
Wow.
So, you know, a lot of that has to do with the engineering that goes into the product, and that's why we advocate there are two types of lifts, those that are certified and those that aren't, because the engineering and the footprint footprint that that lift is put into, in combination with the attachment devices and ultimately the concrete, make a difference.
Right, right. Bob, can we? We'd like to keep you on through our next break here, and we're gonna pick up again with lift conversation. If you could just hang with us for about maybe a minute or two.
You bet.
And we'll be right back. So we're gonna take another quick break here on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. Stick with us. We'll be back with more from Bob O'Gorman and the Lift Institute on 90.3 WHPC.
Wow, that's like crazy loud music. What are you listening to?
The best music on the radio. Come on, this is the Iron Age.
The what age?
The Iron Age, the show that brings you various types of heavy metal music from all over the spectrum.
Really? I've never heard of it. How do you know so much about it?
I'm the host.
Wait, if you're the host, how are you driving this car and on the radio at the same time?
Come on, don't ask so many questions. The Iron Age with me, Justin Sullivan, delivers the best variety of heavy metal music that you could ever ask for. Only on the Iron Age will you find music as ridiculously heavy as Meshuggah and Oceania, along with chill and relaxing tunes like Tool and Deftones.
Oh, that sounds cool and all, but I think I'm just going to listen to something else.
Ooh, I think that's going to be a problem. I think you're going to have to find another ride then.
What?
This portion of programming on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by the Center for Workforce Development at Nassau Community College.
Did you recently graduate with an engineering degree, or are you close to finishing an accredited program? Need help preparing for the fundamentals of engineering exam to become a professional licensed engineer?
Gain the knowledge, skills, and confidence needed to pass the exam by taking the Fundamentals of Engineering Exam Preparation course. It takes place on Saturdays from September 29th through May 11th.
More information can be found by contacting the Center for Workforce Development at 516-572-7487 or by visiting ncc.edu.
This is Dennis Pitzenberger from Sticker Shock, and if you're not listening to Motormouth Radio, boy, you are lost in the smoke of the burnout. Make sure to tune in each and every week because these guys are exactly what you want to hear. Real car guys, real talk every single weekend.
All right, we are back. You can call us Deliverance, call us whatever the heck you want, but this is Motormouth Radio with Ray Guarino, Joe D, and Mr. Bob O'Gorman on the line talking about lifts and lift safety.
He's elevating us. He's bringing us up higher ground.
Oh, my God. That's
okay.
Oh, Bob. All right, we were we're picking up where we left off. Joe has an interesting...
Well, yeah. I mean, I was thinking about it this way. Let's just say that I had the smarts to go out and get a brand a quality brand name lift certified by you guys. In other words, a quality piece, not some piece of crap from used out of some crap hole, down in the bad part of town. How do we as lift operators or mechanics or whatever? How do we make the best of being make operating lifts safely? I mean, I see some stuff. I mean, I do mobile diagnostics as part of my shtick, and I go to shops and I see these guys roll cars in and they just kick the arms onto whatever part of the car.
I can't believe that.
And just up, and I'm like, I cringe. I mean,
do they change a lot of exhaust systems and fuel lines as a result?
I don't think they even
Well,
look.
It's a Porsche owner's nightmare if you ever get under a real high-end car, and Porsche's known for it, where they haven't lifted it up correctly, and you just got dents and all kinds of stuff going on under there. If you're in a shop, or matter of fact, let's just talk about anybody, even at your own house, right?
Right.
Whether you're under a penalty program as an employee or an employer, and what I'm talking about there is occupational safety and health requiring that your employees are trained, or whether you've got a hobby shop and you've got cars coming in and out. I used to be involved with a youth program where we had kids who'd get together Tuesday nights and, work on my old 38 Plymouth Rumble seat. You want to make sure, whether it's for hire or not, if you've got people going in and out of that shop, You, you don't want to be anywhere around the memory of somebody being injured or lost, or you know, your vehicle being torn up. So first thing to do is become familiar with the instructions of the manufacturer for operation of that lift. That's mandatory. Again, if you have a lift, and you know what, bad lifts come out of good neighborhoods too, Joe. You know,
yes,
so if you have a lift that's got no operating instructions, there's your sign, right?
Mm.
And so the thing is to
basically
look
that
at the
sign
manufacturer's
is almost stupid.
Instructions. If there aren't any instructions, we've got general instructions through one of our standards. But once you're familiar with that manufacturer's instructions for operating the lift, you also should go a little bit deeper and take a look at the instructions for maintaining the lift. Some guys need their wire ropes or the cables, as they're called, traded out every 3 years. You know,
sure.
So knowing what the maintenance requirements for that lift are, as well as operating it, and then real honestly, on our website, autolift.org, I'm not here to sell stuff, but I guess everybody that works for a company does, right?
Right.
From a standpoint of selling safety, if you got a loved one, if you have a shop owner or a lift operator you know, or if you got some home guys running this, it's $16 to actually earn a certificate of completion for basic lift safety understanding. And it's a great course. We used to have Richard and Kyle Petty did it on DVD for a number of years. Now we're all into these learning management systems. So you buy the course, you get a token, you give us a little bit of information that's never used or sold that allows us to fill out your certificate that's kept online, for schools. You know, schools that have programs like this, one professor, a lot of schools do this at the high school and college level. Before you get into that shop, you take that course, you earn the certificate. It helps these guys when they go out in the field looking for a job, because it's required out there to show you're trained. But it's also really important from a standpoint of, you know, you're looking at as a university or a high school with insurance issues. You know, you make your program safe. You teach them right before they get in what they should and shouldn't do.
And I have to say, it's a great thing. And if you want a little plug, be like the Motor Mouths. I actually planned on taking that program this past week, and I did. I was looking through the website, taking notes, because that's what I do before I take a test, and I just wasn't able to sign into it. But coming week, I do plan on doing that and earning that certificate. So
I think I'm going to join you with that.
That's a good idea, Joe. We should lead by example on that.
Absolutely, because right. let's
well,
face
I would
it.
love to get you guys' feedback on it. I mean, you know, we have there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands of these courses that have been moved out to the industry, and I just feel it's important. You know, I know a guy up at the DOT, the Department of Transportation. I'm not going to say which state, but he's the head of the DOT, and he looked at me and laughs. And in all seriousness, he says, you know, what kind of training do I need that my grandfather didn't give me? And he holds up his hand, and he's missing half a digit.
I was just about to say that's a job for some places.
You know, he says it. He says, this is absolutely the result of not being properly trained.
You're right. So. You're absolutely right. So we are going to do that. And I'll tell you something. You've asked the right guy, because you don't know the can of worms you opened. I'm the guy that writes letters to the editor, to the newspaper. I write to the cable company. I do Amazon reviews. I believe in feedback. And let me preface that with everybody these days is into negative feedback and just slamming people. I'm a big proponent of tell
positive.
People when they do something right.
Oh, yeah.
Because That's a good thing. They should know that as well. So I'll definitely provide feedback to you.
Well, that'll be great. I mean, we really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
The course is now, instead of just being a DVD with the same test that's static, it's ran through a learning management system, which requires you to click some buttons. It requires you to interact and identify your lift type and different things you've seen in the industry.
Okay.
And then ultimately, when the two of you guys take your test, you're both going to see a computer-generated test that is different and allows us to understand if you meet the minimum requirements.
Right.
If you don't meet the minimum requirements, the awesome thing is you get to go back and you get to test one more time to try to earn that certificate.
Oh, it's like an ASC
and then thing. We've got some great pieces that you can download and take home, put right in your toolbox to make you a better lift operator.
Approximately how long does the test certification take?
Well, to watch the video is about 22 minutes.
And we've had people complete the test in 10 or 12 minutes and have passing scores.
Nice.
We've had some people who, most people finish the whole entire thing in about an hour, just under an hour.
Even on a lunch break, you could do that, and, you know, so you don't forget and you're not too tired at the end of the day, you could do that in the middle of the day.
Absolutely. And then, you know, the thing that really made me a believer in this course years ago was a really staunch, hardcore believer in my product was, we had Richard and Kyle Petty, NASCAR legends, in the video, working with us, a real partnership there, and so grateful for what they brought to the table, allowed us to set up for the next version of it. But we had a woman who was pleading that we talk to her husband's boss, who runs a shop, because he just wasn't going to pay for any training. And his philosophy was, if the guy didn't come here already knowing what he's doing, I don't need him. And, unfortunately, you know, most folks are not teaching the basics of lift right. safety training. And let's face it, you know, when an accident does occur, a lot of times what we're seeing as the result is improper vehicle lifting points. We sell a document for that right from the manufacturers of most light and heavy duty vehicles. It's cheap. It's very affordable. We also see that the vehicle wasn't balanced correctly. It wasn't on the proper lifting points. You guys started with that at the beginning of the segment where people were just kind of kicking it under and seeing where it goes. Those are the biggest issues, are operator error, and it comes back after investigations to lack of training.
There is something I want to ask you, because on some of the cars I've worked on at the shop, I think that this Mustang is one of them, a 69 Mustang. I set the car up, and I always bring the car up about 2 feet and then give it a rock before I go any higher.
But I still do that, too.
I noticed on a lot of these cars, the way that the arms are positioned, my front arm is always is a shorter span to the car, and it comes out almost not quite perpendicular from the lift, but the rear arm is longer and it ends up being extended. And I wonder if that relationship of angles of the lift arms is something to think about or know about, or am I just looking too far into it?
No, you're not. You know, there are two types of two-post lifts, and again, you know, that's where the biggest accident occurs. You know, people lift a vehicle that's too long and too heavy, and when it's too long and they can't get to the proper vehicle points, the other thing some people do is they lift on the spring hanger. You know, that's just a major accident waiting to happen. There's symmetric and asymmetric lifts, and you know, just to keep it simple, you've got the forearms that are the same, or in an asymmetric, it's just like what you were saying, the two appear to be shorter,
right.
And the two in back that are intended for the back of the vehicle, sometimes they have three or four extensions on them now.
Oh, wow.
And that's helpful when you start to get into some of these big, bad, heavy vehicles that may have some weight going on there that somebody not using the lifting points wouldn't understand.
Right, got it. Okay. So the thing is, again, education, look into the lift, find out what are there. This is an asymmetric lift, just by what you said. Yeah. I can tell that. But, yeah, I like to look at things and always just take a put myself in neutral and say, okay, just look. It's like we always say when you want to diagnose a problem. Open the hood. Just stand there with your hands in your pockets. Look at the thing first and just see if anything jumps out at you before you start tearing into it.
Yeah, and trust your gut. I mean, if you're a really good mechanic, if you're a pretty good mechanic, trust your gut, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you've got some training there to back that up, you're going to make the right decision in most cases, or at least you're not going to make the decision that puts you into an imbalanced situation.
Got it. Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to take that training. We're going to put something up on our website, a link to autolift.org, so other people can be aware of it. And, because that is paramount. And Bob, I thank you for coming on. I think what we'll do is I'll be in touch with you again after we do this. We'll get you back for maybe a follow-up segment.
Sure.
And, maybe...
And you could laugh at us.
Yeah, next month.
Or at least me.
We'll talk some more, because through this, we will generate more questions and more concerns, and hopefully our listeners will feed back to us, and we'll be able to kind of push that back to you again. So
if I could, you know, to finish that story up, that woman wound up buying our course, and it was $100 at the time.
Right.
And it's just driven me to make our course as inexpensive as we possibly can make it. For educational facilities, we actually bring the course down to $10 per student.
That's great.
And they can use that when they walk out of the shop. So I guess my closing comment would be, you know, autolift.org, get that course, get our safety poster with the 13 lifting points that are critical for a shop. I didn't talk about that too much at all, actually. Get that in front of your shop owner, your favorite lift operator.
Right.
Even the lift operator you hate the most needs safety, right?
Yeah, totally.
And for you guys, I guess, you know, our motto is lift it right, your safety is riding on it. I appreciate your time today, guys, and I thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Bob, so much, and we'll be in touch.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Have a great Sunday, guys.
Thank you, Bob. All righty, that was Bob O'Gorman from Autolift.org. Joe, I think...
Yeah, we got to do it now. I mean...
We do.
You never realize, because, unfortunately, most of the time mechanics, they just like, here's the car, lift it up, do the brake job, do the oil change, whatever.
Right.
And as long as it doesn't come down on anybody's head, they're okay.
I tell you, actually, our web social media guy, the guy behind us in the clouds, he's a big safety guy, so I know he's going to be a gog over this.
A big safety guy.
Yes. So let's take our last break, and we'll reset, and hopefully we'll get some phone calls. I know Brian, Matt Goman's out there. Maybe he'll give us a buzz and talk to us, and we'll be back with more. And just like the guy in the shop who doesn't know what's going on, then we're going to listen to a little bit of Evil Thing. Get sharpen up that bass again, because I got to tell you, you know, it's pretty funny. The bass player for Danzig, Glenn Danzig does vocals. The bass player's name is Erie Vaughn. and the drummer's name is Chuck Biscuits, or at least that's what they go by. So,
what's up, Chuck?
Let's listen to a little bit of Evil Thing, 90.3 WHPC.
Have you seen DJ Solero?
No, why?
Well, he was supposed to be here right now to tell everyone about his show, The Rare Groove Session, but I can't find him anywhere.
I'll look for him. Maybe he got something to eat.
Food? He went to get food? I mean, who can eat at a time like this?
Relax. I'm sure everyone can figure out when they can listen to the most incredible music from the 60s and 70s that they may not have heard before.
But what if they can't? What if they never figure out when The Rare Groove Session is on? What happens then, huh? I don't want to live in a world where no one knows about The Rare Groove Session.
Hey guys, ready to tell everyone about RGS?
DJ Solero, where the f*** have you been?
I was getting something to eat.
How can you eat at a time like this?
What are you talking about?
Don't mind her. Go ahead and tell everybody when to listen.
Okay, whatever. So if you're looking for some mind-blowing music, check out The Rare Groove Session. Now at a brand new time, late Friday nights or early Saturday mornings, depending on how you look at it, starting at 1 a.m. on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Coming up at 12 o'clock today, Sunday, Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, talking about cars. And like I said, you don't have to know anything about cars to enjoy the show. People watch cooking shows, don't know how to cook. People watch those home repair shows, they don't know how to fix anything. So Motormouth Radio is the same thing. Think about it that way.
Blessing is a curse.
I love seeing Joe headbang. I love it when he rocks back and forth. The ponytail shakes, his eyes roll around. It's pretty cool.
The eyes roll anyway.
Yeah, you definitely got that bassman thing going. It's cool.
It's just a natural reaction. I mean, how could you not?
Yeah.
I mean, how could you sit there?
I know.
Let's not go there, because next thing it'll be old. We'll be the Motor Mouth Rock and Roll Show, and that's not what they keep us around for.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. But you know what? We're our last segment. We're going to get to mop up a little bit. If you want to get a hold of us, 516.
Oh, you got the mop now. Okay.
Yeah, it's over here. 516-572-7440. Give us a call. We still got a little bit of time to talk, and then we can. We thank Bob O'Gorman from the Autolift.org.
Yeah, we're taking that class, right?
Yeah, it is a safety.
I'm getting that posted. There's a few people in a couple of the shops that I really want to show that to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I get scared sometimes. It's like, hey, Joey, come here. Look at it. No, I'm not.
We were sharing horrific lift stories before the show as we were talking about this. And you know, everybody who's been in a shop or around a shop, you know, has them. And the thing that scares me is a lot of people don't know that what they're doing or what they're working on is wrong. That's the scary part. I learned something just by looking.
They're on the way, yeah.
I learned something by looking at the Autolift site. They were talking about when the two-post lifts are installed, they use big lags and bolts. You can see the big nuts. Every year, they recommend you go back and retorque those nuts. So my question is, if I didn't install it, you know, what are you torquing to? Like, what's the spec? And, you know, it bears finding out. I guess if you have the lift now, if the guy installing it, if you ask him, like, what are you torquing those nuts? Torque? Huh? You know, then you're in for
trouble. It's three ugly duggers.
Yeah.
Oh, look, a flashy thing.
All righty. Hopefully, cool. Let's go back to the phones. Go back to the fun. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, this is Macko Man Brian. What's going on, guys?
Hey, how are
it's
you?
It's our favorite Macko guy. What's happening, Brian?
Hey, I just want to say that was an awesome interview. That listening to that is good stuff, and a lot of people don't realize the safety.
Yeah, that,
and,
absolutely.
Just in the last year, I've had two shops where the lifts actually pulled out of the ground.
No kidding.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a big safety concern, and I think it's awesome that you guys show that stuff, and hopefully people take it to heart.
I hope so. Now, you know, of course, we did get Bob from, I didn't get to talk about it, from Playing in Traffic. Lou Santiago had actually been up to a car show in Cortland, and Louis Lee, I think, set it up where Lou went to Bob's establishment, and he did a couple of training videos. They're not long, I think just a couple minute videos, not training videos, just safety videos for the Autolift org.
Yeah, I was poking around the website, the Autolift website, and there's Lou's picture.
Right,
He's pointing at something.
Right.
And, I guess that's good to know that videos is good for those of us who don't want to sit there and read a lot.
Well, that's it. Yeah, if you and the reason they do that, and they were smart, because Lou is a very down to earth guy. He's a believable guy, and he's a guy people will listen to because they know he's in a shop as well. He's not just some suit that's walking through and spouting specs. So
yeah, it's true.
You know, like you, Brian. You know, when you talk, people listen.
that could get you in trouble, but yeah, I appreciate it.
That's for sure.
Well, we know that.
That's right. If you know your stuff, you're worth listening to.
Hey, I mentioned to Joe earlier your special of the week with that that bottle opener is really good. It's been jazzing me. Tell us about that. Tell us what's new with Matco Tools.
Hey, we just got, like I said, we're gearing up for winter and getting stuff ready. We tried to change with the seasons and keep going. Unfortunately, I don't know what's really coming up at the moment. I have a regional meeting coming up, and they'll have the newest stuff out. So hopefully next week I'll have some new tidbits, and you can check it out on my Twitter account or Facebook.
Right.
Yep. Hey, Macko Man.
Hey, Macko Man.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, I got to laugh when you say you're getting ready for winter, because just like our good friend Rob Leonard out there, I told you this Thursday night. Joe, the Thursday before, Brian came on and he was clean shaven, had a mustache. And he's got a pretty, he had a Jerry Garcia beard going. It was fit him. And now this week he came in, then he was clean shaven, right? This week he comes back, he's got a beard again. I'm like,
That was quick.
What, he glue it on? No, he
what, like, a chia pet?
No, it's like I said, like Rob Leonard, who's in the studio right across from us, the guy can grow a beard in a week.
Wow.
We're sitting there for months saying, hey, come on.
What I got on my face now took me since 1997. I mean, geez, come on.
So when I think of you laying in for winter, I think, it's going to be hard. Wait a week. You get a beard, you'll be warm.
Yeah, seriously.
That's it.
You know? And I'm sure, like I even said on Thursday night, I'm sure you got the nice woolly back hair to go with it, too, so you walk around without a shirt.
That's it.
Oh, that's the curse of a
certain genetics.
Middle-aged men, right? That's what happens. I said the hair grows where you don't want it and doesn't grow where you do, so...
where you need it. Yep, yeah, that's true.
Exactly, exactly. But
he's got some good stuff on his Facebook page. The Mini Doctor. You got that old drain plug kit. Just kind of flipping through here real quick. Oh, look, there's that bottle opener and 10-millimeter wrench.
That's a cool thing. Like I was telling Joe about it, and he goes, oh, yeah, everybody will have one of those, because who doesn't need a 10-millimeter wrench or
and the bottle opener?
Yeah, you guys, stay tuned and keep an eye in the mail there, Ray, okay?
So, okay,
well, I'll hook you guys up, and everybody needs a 10, you know?
Yeah, well, you did your 8s and 10 thing a few weeks ago, right, with the sockets.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And since then, I've heard people say that like, yeah, I always need 8 and 10 millimeter sockets. I guess I'm lucky. I don't typically lose tools. Maybe because I'm so nuts about, you know, keeping an eye on them. And when they fall, I retrieve them right away. But
yeah, after a job, I always take attendance and put stuff back.
I need magnetic shoes so I can just put my foot under the car and click, click, get that socket.
Seriously.
Yeah, the newest thing now are the guys are leaving the lights with the magnets on under the car.
Yes.
And they forget to get them. And so when I drive home at night, I see the lights on. I think everybody's got ground effects on their car.
Oh, right. Wow. Yeah.
And next week, I always hear, I lost the light again. And I'm like, yep, I saw it going down the road.
And they're expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you, when I was working on that Grand National in the shop, I worked on it for like a month and a half. And, you know, you're working on a car every day, you're coming back. And one day I was looking for the magnetic light. I'm like, where is it? And I raised the car, and I'd left it under the trunk floor. I'd shut it off, but that's where it was. I was like, oh, boy, this is dangerous. I realized you could leave this thing. And, you know, when I was working on the Mustang, I had it up over that dash in a spot where you'd never, never see it.
Right.
Especially when the battery died, you know.
Well, so there's a couple things. I mean, also, like, a lot of scan tools now have wireless dongles,
right,
as opposed to cable. You know, there used to be that tag. As a matter of fact, I mean, grab a few of these. That it used to say, like, remove before flight.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, because between the wireless dongles, that little thing that used to grab the hood piston, so that way you could hold the gas truss and tighten that down. And now we have the cordless lights.
Yeah.
You want to have something. You want to have something hanging off it, so it reminds you. One of the guys at the shop, this guy, he's got a Greek flag hanging off of his. Right. Never mistake that thing.
Right. I tell guys to cut the old chargers and, you know, about 6-7 inches and then plug it into that dongle. So that way it hangs down and at least you see it. Or at least the customer will say, hey, what's that hanging down under my dash?
Well, hang like a squirrel tail or something on it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. In the motorcycle world.
Baby shoe.
Yeah, baby shoe. A brass one. So you hit your knee on it. Oh! Years ago, they came out with this brake rotor lock. It's a disc brake lock that goes over the rotor. It's got a hardened pin that goes through it. So now that wheel can only rotate one rotation. I know a few guys who took off with it, and the idea was, so you don't forget it, they had an insert that went into the key, and it was a bright orange coil thing that you'd bring up, and you'd loop it on your handlebar somewhere.
Right.
So when you got on a bike, you'd see that and say, oh, yeah, take the disc lock off.
Right. Yeah, right. Because there's a lot of cordless battery-powered tools these days. I mean, I'm sure it's great for sales, but... let's face it. Somebody should come up with that though. Some kind of reminder thingy, something legit, rather than some of the perverted crap we just spouted. But
You got to be diligent, and I think
the charging cable thing is kind of cool.
I tell you one thing: seeing what those lights cost. I don't know the exact cost of the Macos. I see the Snap-on prices. Once you lose one, I don't think you're going to lose two.
Right.
It's a hit.
But not only that, but like now you come into work the next day or Monday morning or whatever, you're looking for your light.
Right.
And now you're sucking on your flashlight.
It's like, hey, what's Mr. Jones's phone number? I got to call him and have him come back here.
We gotta
get under his car. Brian, do you sell a lot of lights? I know we talked about the battery powered stuff in general, but is lights a.
I sell tons of lights.
Nice.
Tons.
Nice.
Yeah.
And some guys are on their fourth or fifth light.
Now, is that because they lost them or they burned them? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you think after one, I don't think I'd ever lose two, but I guess some guys don't learn so quick.
Well, it depends on the shop, too.
And
if
usually,
the shop is a
I get a stranger will knock on my door and say, hey, do you have a charger for this light? And obviously, they found it in the car.
Yeah.
So. Uh-huh.
Say, no, but I can make you a great deal on this socket set here.
You need a charger? I can sell you a charger. But
It comes with an impact gun.
Yep.
All right, Brian, we got to wrap. We got to get out of here. So we appreciate you calling. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah, awesome, guys. I love the show. And,
thank you.
I'll talk to you and be in touch.
Okay,
much appreciated.
Thanks a lot,
man.
Bro.
Take care.
Yep, bye-bye.
All right, so long. All right, Joe, that was our good buddy Brian, the Matt Goman. Check him out on the social media platforms. He's a fantastic guy.
Hey, Matt Goman there, yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And next week, we do have, we have Dave Barton from Power Break, from Power Probe is back on again to talk more about Power Probe stuff.
Cool.
So he's going to do a follow-up with us, so we'll have him on next
week. I actually have to either write down or take pictures of the trouble. I've been using the stupid thing. I've been using the thing a lot.
Right.
And no use, I want to document it so we can have more fun with it.
Got it.
But in the meantime,
let's get out of here. Ray Guarino for Joe D, Motormouth Radio. We'll be back next week.
On WHPC.
WHPC is right. Bye.